Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. I want my listeners out there to know that. And as I welcome you all to this evening's episode, I am bubbling over with joy still, because tonight we will continue our study from the book of Luke. And we know that this study will synopsize the life of Jesus Christ according to Luke, the physician. It will also present his allegory of the Son of God and give to us an account-by-account description of the events concerning Jesus' beginnings to the end of his life as we know it. And we will also look at the characteristics of Christianity as presented in this book written by Luke. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time again to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. So thank you so much, my precious brothers and sisters. Now, the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. This is taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Now, the promise is that if you want to be perfect in Jesus, this is what you have to do to accomplish that. You have to give to the poor, and you have to relinquish what you have and follow Jesus. Jesus said, and he looked round about on him, which sat with him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same shall be my brother and my mother and my sisters. This is taken from Mark chapter 3, verse 34 and 35. The promise is, if you want to be a part of Jesus Christ, you have to do the will of God. And then your relationship as brother, sister, or mother will take place. Jesus said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." This is taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Now, the promise is that if you want to have men put into your bosom good things, then you must give as Jesus has required. And that good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and rolling and running over will be given to you. Now, the question for the hour is still, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we start the lesson, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the study. We're going to go to the book of Luke. We're going to look at chapter 13, verse 2 through 9. Luke chapter 13, verse 2 through 9. And this is the instruction that we want to garner from the reading of the text. This particular instruction is number 43 out of 84, as we'll complete the series. The instruction says, "Except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish." Remember that, my brothers and sisters. Except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. And this is what the text says, Luke chapter 13, verse 2 through 9. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, Suppose that ye, these Galileans, were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Jesus is saying it doesn't matter what your nationality is. If you don't repent, you will perish. Today is what the warning is to us. Verse 4 says, "Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." Again, Jesus is saying it doesn't matter where you are at the time of the confrontation that may cause you to transition out of this world. You must be repentant. He spake also this parable. Jesus said, "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on the fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why cumberest thou the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then afterward that thou shalt cut it down." Now, what Jesus is saying in this parable, that you and I have the time that we can linger, if you will. But we have to be repentant, because if our time is cut short, then we will lose out. Now, what we want to do is look at this, go to the Old Testament complement and see what it says about this. We're going to go to Ezekiel. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. And this is what the prophet said that's in reference or can be inferred to comparing with what we just read. "Behold," God says, "all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So what the prophet is saying, that it does not matter who you are or where you are, if you are a sinner at that time of your calling you will die. He said that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So that is what the Old Testament says, connecting to what Jesus is saying. Now, what we want to do is go, I want to give you what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that as long as we are breathing, after this, we'll continue.
There is a constant battle for your soul going on all the time. You see, your soul is important to the devil. He wants your soul. He'll pay any price. And some of you are selling your soul so cheaply. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil will give you the whole world if you'll follow him. But some of you will follow him and he won't give you anything. You're just following him because you're like the pig that's following the man that's dropping the beans, going to the slaughter pen. Every little bit he drops a bean and the pig goes following right along. And you don't even think that you're following the devil in the wrong direction. Yes, Jesus Christ is the highway to heaven. But be aware, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he said.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us complete our thought. The instruction, except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. And this is the instruction or the spiritual thought that I'm trying to impart to you tonight concerning this instruction. That as long as we are breathing this side of eternity, we can repent. That is critical. You must realize that it doesn't matter what state of condition you're in. As long as you're breathing, you can repent, and that will be sufficient. Of course, you have to be a believer, and you have to do what that belief requires, but repentance is what we're talking about. And you can do that at any time that you are in existence. Now let's go to our next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 44, and we're going to go back to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. And this is the instruction that we want to draw from the text we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 13, verse 18 through 19, or 18 and 19. This is the instruction. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, or the kingdom of God is like a mustard tree. Now, we have to realize that this is a physical concept that's going to give us a spiritual meaning. And this is what the New Testament points at, the spirituality of our lives, as compared to the Old Testament pointing at the physiology or the physical part of our lives. So this is what the text says about the kingdom of God is like a mustard tree. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? Jesus said, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Now, what this is telling us is that physically we see a small seed that is germinating because of the care of the person that it is inside of. But it must grow before it can reach maturity and then be successful in the life that it is supposed to garner. Now, what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament, and we're going to look at the complement and see in the complement what the psalmist had to say about this. We're going to go to Psalms 24, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 2 of Psalms 24, and this is what it says. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. It's all physical. This is what King David is giving to the Israelites, a physical concept of the kingdom of God. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. So this is what David is giving Israel, that God is the owner of all things physical, for sure. But he did not relate to the spiritual. That's what Jesus did in Luke chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. And now what we want to do is see what this means to us physically or spiritually in our lives. This is what it should mean to us, that we must look to the spiritual kingdom of God for our ultimate habitat. The flesh cannot inherit it. So we understand more specifically, because today we worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus told us. Back in the day of King David and the rest of the Israelites, they were worshiping God physically in a temple. That's where God resided. So that's what we want to get out of this particular instruction. The kingdom of God is like a mustard tree. All right. But that mustard tree has to grow, and spiritually it grows. That's the what we're looking at, the spirituality of that. Now let's go to instruction number 45. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Luke chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And this is the instruction, similar to the one we just read. The kingdom of God is like leaven in bread. And what we want to focus on is that as we're reading the text and realize again that we're taking a physical concept, but we're applying it to a spiritual meaning. This is what the kingdom of God is like, leaven in bread. And this is what the text reads. Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? Jesus says, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And that is telling us that just like leaven in bread, you can't see it, but what it does, it perfects itself unto the bread as it is leavening. So that's what we want to realize that this is telling us. And we want to go to our Old Testament complement to see exactly what this is telling us and comparing it to. We're going to go back to Psalms 145, and we're going to look at verse 11 through 13. Psalms 145, verse 11 through 13, and this is what it says that compares. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. This time, what David is giving us is an overall picture of the kingdom of God. He is including the physical and the spiritual. So now what should this mean to us spiritually in our lives? That we must understand that the kingdom of God is within us, but not developed enough to prosper until we receive the indwelling. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like leaven, and this is what we need to understand, that we have that kingdom within us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, that the kingdom of God does not come with a physical appearance, but it is within us. It is inside of us. And being inside of us is good, but the leaven has to produce. It has to come to maturity. And that is where I am telling you that until we receive the indwelling, that's the key, my brothers and sisters. We know that a lot of people consider themselves Christians, but being Christian is not enough unless you have the being born again element of Christianity. And again, if you're just a Christian and you're born again, that is not full maturity. You have to be a Christian, born again, and have the indwelling. That's the key. And that's what I'm trying to share with you this evening. Okay, we'll go to the next instruction, number 46. And this is where we're going back to Luke chapter 13. We're going to read verse 23 through 30. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from the reading of Luke chapter 13, verse 23 through 30. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. This is so significant because what Jesus is telling us, in essence, that both will be successful, but the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Now let's read what the text says. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, ye begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, not whence ye are. Now, this is telling us that when the door is closed, then there will be no more entering in. So we still are under the concept of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. We know that within that is okay. But outside of that, as the scripture just gave us, or the parable, then we are shut out. Now, verse 26 says, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, Lord, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he will say unto us, I tell you, I do not know you, whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'll continue after the break.
Whose prayer I'm breaking into, but I'm breaking into somebody's prayer, saying, Lord, why do I keep going through the same things over and over again? I go to church now, I tithe now, I shout now, I leap now, and the Lord sent me here to tell you, it's no problem with your sentence, the problem is with your default. Until you change your default, you will always go back to being who you were before, because you have never changed your mind. The devil can't do just anything to you. People can't do just anything to you. Life can't do just anything to you. I don't care how little you are, there is nothing as powerful as a change. Lock somebody and tell them, I changed my mind. As long as you're programmed with what you can't do and what you can't be and what you can't have, you will never get up. But I dare you to go into your phone booth like Clark Kent and spin around and come out Superman and say, wait a minute, I'm better than this. I'm getting ready to change my default setting. I will not die crackhead. I will not let you abuse me. I will not say there is nothing as powerful. The prodigal son was in the hog pen, surrounded by the swine, about to eat that the pigs ate. And all of a sudden, the Bible said he came to himself. He didn't change his clothes. He didn't change anything else. All he did was change his mind. The pigs couldn't hold him. The pen couldn't hold him. The disgrace couldn't hold him. The embarrassment couldn't hold him. I dare you to change your mind.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction that we're looking at, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And this is what verse 28 of Luke chapter 13 says. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, they are last which shall be first, and they are first which shall be last. So what this parable is telling us, that it doesn't matter if you are 1 year old or 101 years old. The last 101, you can still make it as if you were one, and you could still make it. But once the door is closed, then it is over. So that is the season you want to make sure that you're in, is between the first and the last. Now let's go to our Old Testament complement and see what Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, says in Ecclesiastes verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, says about this phenomenon. Now this is what is being pointed at from King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. This is what King Solomon says: to everything there is a season. All right? Within that season is what we're talking about, that you are to respond. That after the season is over, then it's too late. And the rest of what he says is, there's a time to every purpose up under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Still, within that time frame, that's significant. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. We're still talking about being within the season. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And there's a time to love and a time to hate, and a time of war and a time of peace. The reason I read all of this, my brothers and sisters, because the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Within that time frame, you can be successful still. But once the door is closed, once you transition, then it is too late. Now, what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that your season is your lifespan. And you cannot come to Jesus, and you can come to Jesus at any time during that span to be acceptable. The sooner the better, I say. But after that time frame, then it is too late. Meaning, once you have passed through the transition period, then it is too late, meaning that you have died. Okay, let's go now to instruction number 47. And this is what we're going to look at back in the text. We're going to go to back to Luke chapter 13, verse 31 and 35. This is what we're looking at, Luke chapter 13, verse 31 through 35. And this is what we're going to take from the reading of the text. This is the instruction. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, this is so significant. Reason, because salvation is what the blessing is in the name of the Lord. And this is what the text reads. The same day there are certain Pharisees saying unto Jesus, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And Jesus said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Now, Jesus is telling us a parable, and he's talking about the 3 days that he shall spend in the grave. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. And what Jesus is saying here is that he, as long as it's not his time called for his demise, he is supposed to do the work of the Lord, and we should be about that business ourselves. Verse 34 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, that ye shall not see me until the time comes when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that is so significant because that blessing is identifying the time that the book of Revelation told us that Jesus will return and he will come for us. Now, what we're going to do is go to our compliment and see what the Old Testament has to say about this. We're going to go to Psalms 118, verse 25 and 26. Psalms 118, verse 25 and 26. And this is what King David is saying to Israel. Save now. That's the salvation I'm talking about. I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Salvation is the key. Verse 26 says, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now, what that is telling us is that salvation is what the blessing should be when the coming of the Lord. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that whoever is for us cannot be against us. Whoever espouses Jesus Christ is worthy of our consideration. He who receives me receives him who had sent me. Salvation is written all through this instruction. And that's what I'm trying to imply to you, that whosoever is for us, if God is for us, then that the blessing is the salvation that we will receive for him. So that's the instruction that I'm trying to get to you out of that number 47 that we have read the text from the book of Luke. Now let's go to instruction number 48. We're going to go back to Luke, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through 11. Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through 11. And this is what the instruction will take from the reading of the text. He that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's the instruction we want to focus on when we read the text. And this is what the text says, Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through 11. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. In fact, I should always give you that understanding that we're talking, Jesus talked in parables on purpose. And he marked how they chose out the chief. Well, let's start with 7 again. And he put forth a parable to those who were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying to them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down at the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of thee. And he said, and he that bade thee and come and say to thee, give this man place, that thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he bid thee again cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What Jesus is trying to tell us is that we must be meek and humble and lowly of spirit in this walk of life. And if we are, then we will reap even more benefits from those who will recognize that. Now, what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament, and we're going to see what the book of Deuteronomy tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13 says it on this wise, and the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So that is what the Old Testament connection says. If you listen to what the instruction is, if you don't exalt yourself, if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. And that's what the Old Testament connection is telling us. Now what we want to do is see what this spiritually means to us in our lives. That if we follow the prescription of Jesus Christ, that we will be successful in this life, this side of eternity. That's why basic instructions before leaving earth is so critical. And Jesus says, I am meek and I am humble. I'm lowly of spirit. He says, learn of me. He says, and I will give you peace and rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so Jesus is telling us that humility is the way that we should walk this side of eternity to receive even more than what we could get from this experience we're having. So that's the instruction that I, after the break, we'll continue.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day. This day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're now looking at instruction number 49 of 84. And we're going back to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 14, verse 12 through 24. Chapter 14, verse 12 through 24. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from the text that we're reading. Be mindful of the poor, maimed, lame, blind, and halt. Be mindful of the poor, maimed, lame, blind, and halt. And this is significant. This is a part of that meekness that I'm telling you about that is so critical to our success this side of eternity. This is what the text says. Then Jesus said also unto them, they bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor the rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made of thee. Now remember what Jesus is saying, that this it's a common practice that we do something for something. You scratch my back, and I'll scratch your back. That's what this is pointing at. Verse 13 says, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And that is the blessing that we should be looking at, is the spiritual blessing that Jesus gives for obeying his commandments. Verse 15 says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But then Jesus said unto him, a certain man, he's giving them a parable, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all went with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and have to go and prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. This is significant. What the instruction is telling us, Jesus is telling us, that if we're not mindful of the poor, then we are going to be lacking. And now what we're going to do is go to the Old Testament complement and see how the Old Testament compares and agrees with what we just identified. We're going to go to Psalms 41, verse 1 through 3. Psalms 41, verse 1 through 3. And this is exactly what King David said about that to the Israelites. King David says, blessed is he that considers the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the halt. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. That's the blessing you're going to get, my brothers and sisters, to be delivered in the times of trouble. The Lord will preserve you and keep you alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. So those are three of the blessings that you're going to receive from responding to the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and the halt. And thou shalt not deliver him up to the will of his enemies. That is again key, because when we're looking at the enemies of mankind, I mentioned, and I'm going to go through some of that again this evening, that we're talking about more than just one element. We're talking about sin through hell and all that is in between there. There are about 9. So you're going to be delivered from them. And remember, we were taught in Proverbs, Solomon said that the ways of a man that pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. So this is what David is telling us. This is part of that blessing if you're considering the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and the halt. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness. Meaning that God is going to preserve you. God is going to sustain you. He's going to give you what you need. Now what we're going to do, this is what this should mean to you spiritually, my brothers and sisters in your life, that we are our brother's keepers. And if we receive all those who God sets before us, we will receive the blessings from God that equates to our salvation. That is the bottom line. We've all been called to do different things, and that is the bottom line. So now what we're going to do is go to instruction.
Hey, Chief, a listener has a question. How is the mustard seed parable similar or the same as the unleavened bread? How are them two similar?
The way that they are similar is that they both have to mature. The mustard seed has to mature and grow. The leaven has to mature and bake. Both relate or respond to maturity. That's the key. If I didn't answer your question fully, if you will get back to me on email or text, I can, and give me more information on what you're looking for, then I'll respond to that. But that is the way they relate to me. It's the maturity factor. Okay. Chris, is there any other?
Nope.
Okay. Then we'll continue. We're going to instruction number 50. And this is the text. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 35. And this is the instruction that we want to draw.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down
before the
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day. This day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses discipline. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
Sometimes in life, you've got to encourage yourself. You can't always rely on other people to encourage you. You've got to do it yourself. Because if you don't do it, there's no one that's going to do it for you. Don't depend on other people. They have their own problems and situations that they have to deal with, just like you. You need to encourage yourself. When you feel like giving up, encourage yourself. When you're feeling low, you need to encourage yourself. When you're feeling like you can't do it, when you're feeling like you're not good enough, open up the Bible and encourage yourself. You've got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. You're almost at the finish line. You can't quit now. You can't stop now. You've got to keep running. You've got to keep going. When you're down, you've got to keep going. You need to motivate yourself. You've got to keep that flame burning inside of you. You've got to keep it burning. You can't just let any little old situation, any little wind, blow your light out. You've got to feed that fire so that you burn bigger. you burn brighter so that nothing that comes your way will stop you. You gotta keep burning and keep burning and keep burning. Romans 12 verse 11 says never let the fire in your heart go out. Keep it alive. You got to keep it alive. Don't let them blow it out. Don't let the doubt blow it out. Don't let fear blow it out. Don't let the haters blow it out. Don't let insecurities blow it out. Don't let anxiety blow it out. Don't let them stamp it out. Don't let the liars stamp it out. Don't let the devil stamp it out. You can't let them win. You gotta keep it burning. 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 You need to encourage yourself. You need to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Declare Deuteronomy 28 verse 13, I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Repeat Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Claim Psalm 27, the Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid of? Shout 2 Samuel, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Cry out Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen to me, if you do not encourage yourself, there may not be anyone else who will. You may have someone in your life who will encourage you. It may be your mama, it may be your father, or even your grandparents. But you better learn to encourage yourself and fight for yourself. Because one of these days, you're going to have to face a Goliath by yourself. And let me tell you something. Your mama ain't going to be there. Your father won't be there. You have to learn to encourage yourself. When you're sick and tired of being sick, and sick of being tired, and those that believed in you don't believe in you anymore, when they have lost hope in you, when they have lost faith in you got to keep your faith. Keep the faith. Keep it burning. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself when the devil has your back against the wall. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters. This is our next instruction, number 50. We're back in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 26 through 35. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from the reading of the text, Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 35. And this is the instruction that we should take from it. You must forsake all to follow Jesus Christ. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? You must forsake all to follow Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to break that down because when I say forsake all, there are certain physical things that you must do, but Jesus is telling you to do these physical things. For instance, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. So this is the instruction. You must forsake all to follow Christ. And this is what the parable says. If any man comes to me and hates not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Remember, God says that you must love him with all your heart. But within the loving of all your heart, there is love for me and you and others. Verse 27 says, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Less happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that is that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able to do with 10,000 to beat him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever
he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, this what Jesus is telling us in this parable is that you focus on one standard, that is Jesus Christ. And within that standard, there is providence. You're going to have what you need physically to apply to your life this side of eternity. But you have to depend on God as a child of God. Just as children depend on their parents, we must depend on God. In this instance, it's Jesus Christ, God made flesh, Jesus Christ. And now what we're going to do is go to our complement, our Old Testament, and see what it tells us. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 26 and through 28. And this is more significant because what Moses is telling Israel, that God gives them only two choices. And we have more than two choices because we have Jesus Christ. But this is what Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28 says. Behold, I set before you this day blessings and curses. Those are your two differences. One blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day and go after other gods which ye have not known. That is what I'm telling you, that we have the third, which is Jesus, who gives us the option, which I just mentioned earlier to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto you. Now, this is what this should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And without him, there is only damnation. That's your choice. Like Moses gave to Israel, blessings and curses. You only have that choice. But with Jesus Christ, he gives us repentance and faithfulness. So the blessing of Jesus Christ gives us that extra choice that we have. That is what this instruction should mean to you spiritually in your life. And now before we close this evening, I mentioned to you about the enemies of mankind. Now I gave you a drill and I identified nine of them, and I'll just reiterate them for you. Sin, the knowledge of good and evil, the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, the curses of the Garden of Eden, the flesh, the devil, ungodly men, death, and hell. All of those nine I consider are enemies of mankind. And of course we know sin was preempted by Jesus who died on the cross. So we have the knowledge of good and evil and the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. That is a tandem duo that is number one now. And I gave you the scripture that indicated what that meant. So we stopped with the curses of the Garden of Eden. And this is what Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 19 says about that. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, he cursed him. And remember what the Lord God said unto the woman, she was cursed too. And what the Lord God said unto Adam, all those three are the curses that I'm talking about that plague us to this day. And they are enemies of ours because we have the inheritance of that. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 says, and there shall be no more curse. So in the end of time, the curse will be removed in Revelations. That is what that's telling us before the Lord, the marriage of the Lamb and the bride and the Lamb take place. Then there is the flesh. And the flesh, Genesis chapter 6, verse 12 says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And so that is telling us that the flesh will not be saved. We know that from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, as I say goodnight to our listeners, remember what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.